Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Humanitarian Horizons. And today I have a special guest on with me. First off, it's International Women's Day. So we'll talk a little bit about International Women's Day, but then we'll also talk about a very, very important topic that is surrounding the South Carolina Supreme Court. With me today is Andrea Mock. Welcome, Andrea.
Thank you so much for having me, Christine. I'm excited to chat with you.
I am so excited. I mean, you're the real deal, okay?
You know, being a female journalist itself has changed quite a bit. I've been a journalist for more than 20 years now. And, you know, back because it's International Women's Day, I'll say that when I started, it certainly wasn't easy being a female in my profession, getting men to talk to me, give me the same respect as my male peers, always interviewing a man. You know, if you think about it, reporters are sent out to interview the mayors, the governors, the doctors, the lawyers, the fire chiefs, the police chiefs, the prosecutors, the defense attorneys. And 20 years ago, Christina, most of them were men. And certainly having a job where you are sending young females out to interview men in positions of power can create a very interesting dynamic. But luckily, I have seen a lot of progress in the last 20 years, and the Me Too movement helped quite a bit. And now, finally, I feel as though, at least as a journalist, female journalists are standing on equal footing as male journalists. And even, you know, here at CBS, you know, we have Nora as our main 6 o'clock female anchor, Nora O'Donnell. And that is a huge deal to have a female in the top spot at 6:30 doing the national news. So we've come and grown quite a bit as journalists.
It's awesome to hear because, you know, like yourself, I've been in a male's role my entire career, over 20 years. I've been in the clinical R&D space. And even now, stuff still happens. You and I were chatting up before we got on where I was telling you something that happened on a Zoom. And it's like, why is this still happening? I mean, we don't have to prove ourselves anymore. We've done the work. We've put in the time and we have shown excellence. So let's just get into it because we have a short amount of time to talk about this. And I want to make sure that you can really talk about this. So one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, other than the fact that I admire you so much and everything that you do, I happened to see a news clip recently about the Supreme Court in South Carolina. And I was outraged, not by your reporting, but about the topic. And I, if you recall, I immediately reshared it on my 1 million followers on Instagram to say, hey, vote people, pay attention to this problem. So, Andrea, why don't you take us into what the issue is at hand?
Well, you know, sadly, it happened very quietly, but very quietly in sort of a behind the scenes vote. South Carolina became the only state in the country to have an all-male Supreme Court. And what happened was Justice Cahern, in our state or on the Supreme Court, you age off the court at the age of 72. It's mandatory retirement. Those are obviously different rules than the U.S. Supreme Court. But so what happens is after you age off the court at 72, we have what's called the Judicial Merit Selection Commission, and they screen new candidates. Once a candidate is screened out of the Judicial Merit Selection Commission, they then go in front of the legislature. And in our state, our legislature votes on who the next candidate for the Supreme Court will be. So what happened in South Carolina is Justice Cahern was on the court and she penned the decision. We passed at the State House something called the Fetal Heartbeat Bill. And the Fetal Heartbeat Bill was just what it sounds like. It was an abortion ban that would start once a fetal heartbeat was detected. And through a clause, Christina, in our South Carolina Constitution that guarantees people a right to privacy. When Justice Hearn penned the decision at the beginning, this was January of 2022, she penned the decision that was unconstitutional because banning a woman the right to get an abortion when there was a fetal heartbeat was an invasion of privacy. So they found that little clause and they found that that was unconstitutional. And Justice Hearn penned that decision at the beginning of 2022. So she ages off the court at the end of 2022. That means it starts in December looking at who they're going to pick. And by January, they had three candidates that got ready to go through the Judicial Merit Selection Commission and then go in front of the legislature. And all three of those candidates were already on the South Carolina Court of Appeals, which, if you know anything about judgeships, you know, you start with local municipalities and you work your way up. And when you are an appellate judge, that's the cream of the crop, the best of the best. And those appellate judges are the ones that in general get picked to be on the Supreme Court. So we had three candidates. We had Stephanie McDonald, Aphrodite Condoris, and Gary Hill. And the wild thing, they're all qualified judges, right? But this was replace the lone female on the Supreme Court. Both Aphrodite Condoris and Stephanie McDonald had more experience on the appellate court by many, many years from Gary Hill. But what happens behind the scenes is lawmakers quietly go up to the two females and they say, you don't have the support, you don't have the votes, you need to withdraw from the race. And so that happened quietly. They both withdrew from the race. And then Gary Hill, who is an accomplished judge, but had the least amount of time on the appellate court, he was elected to be our Supreme Court. That was in February of 2023. So since February of 2023, we have had the only all-male Supreme Court in the country. And I did that story, Christina, because I wanted people don't understand how that happens, right? The general public, the voting public, doesn't understand the process. So I really wanted to break it down for everybody and say, this is how it happened. And it came down to that abortion issue. So when I got a chance this year, at the beginning of this year, to go to the legislative preview session, I asked Senator Shane Massey, you know, why don't we have a woman on the Supreme Court? And is that something that you guys are looking to change? And he said, which at the time was caused a lot of controversy, his answer did. He said that he wanted to elect somebody who had a like-minded view as he did, as a very conservative Republican. And he said that he wanted to elect somebody who viewed the world the way he viewed the world. And that he took a lot of heat for that, because he wasn't necessarily saying, I want the most qualified candidate, or I want to consider diversity on the court. But he just, it came down to the fetal heartbeat law. So then we have an all-male Supreme Court. The law gets passed again by the legislature. Now it goes back. Of course, there were lawsuits. Several different local medical groups sued, including Planned Parenthood, who always sues in a state when they pass a abortion ban. And they all sued again. But this time, the Supreme Court, without Justice Cahern on it, found in favor of supporting the abortion ban. So South Carolina now has a very strict abortion ban. It's 6 weeks. And they say as soon as a fetal heartbeat can be detected, which in general is 6 weeks, an abortion is illegal in our state. So once they removed the female judge from the Supreme Court, they were easily able to get this through. And you know what? As a journalist, you know, I'm not even, my feelings about abortion or opinions are completely irrelevant. Right. But it's the fact that you are making a decision about women and what they can and can't do with their bodies without a single woman weighing in on the process. You would at least like to have a seat at the table, so to speak, to weigh in and be part of the argument and have your voice heard. And obviously, you know, the Supreme Court hears cases every single day. This isn't just about abortion. The Supreme Court hears cases every single day. And here in South Carolina, it's now an all-male Supreme Court. And then it's funny that we're having this discussion today, because so they were supposed to vote on February 7th. Mm-hmm. on the next round of judges. Well, they mm-hmm. delayed that because some lawmakers are calling for judicial reform and reform to the way that judges are decided and elected in our state. So yesterday or the day before, one day this week, they voted we do have one African-American judge, Chief Justice Donald Beatty, who again this year is aging off the Supreme Court. And they voted on Judge John Kittredge, who is a white male who's already on the court, to replace him. So as soon as he ages off, Donald Beatty, we will now have an all-male, all-white Supreme Court. Now that leaves Justice Kittredge's seat open, which they say they will decide on sometime this year. But obviously, I would love and hope and pray that our legislature puts a female in that position, because this is not, you know, South Carolina's population is a diverse population. Women represent more than 41% of our population here in South Carolina. So we are more than half, but 0% on the Supreme Court, which is really a tragedy.
It is absolutely ludicrous. And not only do we not have a female on the Supreme Court, now soon, as soon as the one African-American judge goes to retirement, now you have an all-Caucasian Supreme Court. That is not acceptable in a diversified America that we supposedly live in. Not to mention that we have a VP that's a woman. So I'm sorry. I'm not trying to make this political. This is not about whether or not you like Harris. I don't care about that. It's the fact that there is a woman VP in DC.
And so we're getting, we're making strides, just like I talked about being a journalist, is I do feel like I'm on equal footing now. I didn't 20 years ago when I started. But how can we even think for a second we are on equal footing when the highest court in South Carolina that every day hears cases before them and decides the law of the land and what laws will be upheld in our state and what laws will be struck down, and no women are weighing in? There's not one mom on there who has raised a family, raised a child, had a child, deciding what the future is for our state when it comes to every legal question. And that to me is just bananas that it's 2024 and that we're even having this conversation.
I agree with you. I shot a podcast earlier and we were talking about clinical research and things of that nature. And the fact that I don't know if you know this, but women could not participate in clinical studies until the 1960s. Women could not be in a voluntary clinical study. Okay, we're in 2024 and we're seeing what's happening in South Carolina happen. And there's a lot of other states where things like this are still happening, where they do not care about diversity. They just want to stay with the good old boys club. And that's not the way the life can be. I'm
No,
sorry.
no. And you know what? It's funny. I tell my son all the time, raising him, Brady, the often doing what is right is not the popular answer. And listen, I'm not a dummy. I have a lot of friends at the state house. I have a lot of friends that are lawmakers. I have friends that are senators, friends that are representatives, dear friends. I know speaking out like this and pointing a finger on it the way you and I are doing doesn't make me popular.
No.
It doesn't make me popular. It doesn't gain me friends or like you. So, but ju it's just like I tell Brady, like standing up for what is right is often the not popular way to go. But this is what it takes. It takes people like you and me shining the flashlight on what's happening behind the scenes and letting the general public know that this is what's going on. And that if you want somebody to support a female lawmaker, females in the Senate, females in the legislature, females on the bench of the Supreme Court, be active. Be active. Run for office, support other females who run for office, encourage other females to run for office. Or listen, even if it's a male that represents where you're living, pick up the phone and call your representative. This election to fill Justice Kittredge's seat is coming up, and it is your lawmaker that is going to vote. So if you feel strongly that a female should be on the all-male Supreme Court, pick up the phone and call your representative. Use your voice like you and I are doing today.
Absolutely. It's the humanitarian way, right?
Right.
Like that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. And I love that you teach Brady these things because, I teach Christian the same things, especially since we're moms, and we're powerful moms. We have powerful careers. We've done a lot. We've started at the bottom and worked our way up to where we are today. And so we are trying to teach our young male sons how to be aware of certain things that occur out there in society that they need to be aware of to be a good humanitarian.
It's so true. And having good female role models is the most important thing for the next generation, whether it be boys or girls. And you know, the thing is about South Carolina, okay, the two most powerful ladies in my state that come to mind, head women's basketball coach, Coach Dawn Staley, who is SEC. I mean, she is an Olympian. She is two-time Naismith Trophy Award winner. We have an undefeated season. She's won two national championships for the Gamecocks. She is a great leader. Nikki Haley, who just ran for president, got more votes than any other Republican female candidate ever had. So, you know, we have powerful role models. I think those are both great role models for women here in South Carolina. We have great female role models in South Carolina. It's wild that we don't have a woman on the Supreme Court. We've got women to look up to, but like you said, it's so important for us to teach the next generation about respect, about equality. Because this isn't an issue that that has gone away. It's 2024 and we're still talking about this. Like you said, in the 60s, women weren't allowed to participate in studies. And here we are in 2024 still saying, yes, women should be allowed on the Supreme Court. Yes, it's a good idea.
Right. I mean, even in the way that we enroll clinical studies, you know, the FDA has pushed out mandates about diversity inclusion as it relates to clinical research. It's not just race diversity, it's also gender diversity, right? So it's always easier to get Caucasian males to participate in studies. They just do. It's very hard for us to be able to properly educate people because of all the stigma that they hear and things of that nature to feel brave enough to even participate in a clinical study. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, thank God my dad has passed away as a Teamster because he always endorsed women. And I remember growing up as a little girl, you know, being parts of all these things. Like he allowed me to, you know, be in some of the bargaining negotiations that he did on behalf of the unions that he represented. He gave me those opportunities because he knew that I was going to do something with myself. And he told me that I would always have to work harder and stronger. And this is a blue collar man, right? And look what we do. You know, you and I both have a white collar position. And all these years, we've had to work harder and stronger.
Well, it's true. And you know what's sad is having to prove your intelligence. Like, I will lead with, hey, I'm a nerd. I graduated magna cum laude. I was in all the AP classes. I was in Golden Key National Honor Society. I got a president's list, not just dean's list in college, president's list for 4.0. But I have to say those things because if somebody looks at me, I don't get immediate respect. And I'm sure you don't either as being a super intelligent individual or somebody looks at you. And so I say proudly, I'm a nerd. I am nothing but a nerd. And I wear that with a badge of honor. But as women, we are much less likely to immediately be perceived by our intelligence as we are our looks. Like we are still in a place where our looks come first, and then you get to prove that you're also smart.
You're absolutely right. That's why I went up with the blonde hair. We're both blondes too.
Yeah.
We get that, you know, they like to tease us about the fact that we're blondes. And okay, so sometimes we might make a dumb comment or whatever, but that's just whatever. It's not because we're blondes.
It's so true. And it's funny, you know, I always, and I, when I get to speak to kids a lot, obviously I go to a lot of classes. I, with my organization, Serve and Connect, I get to go to different city parks and talk to kids. And I always say to the girls, don't worry about being pretty, be smart. But you know what? Intelligence and education is something no one can ever take away from you.
That's
Nobody
right.
can ever take that away. And it doesn't age off. It's
That's
something that
right.
you always have and be able to feel confident about. So I always say, don't be pretty, be smart.
That's right. I agree with you. I mean, yes, we are pretty people, but it doesn't happen that way. We don't wake up looking pretty, guys.
Very true.
You
Very true.
know, we work out, we do all kinds of things, just
Right.
like everybody else does. But no, I absolutely agree with you. And it's funny because I talked about this very topic also on my previous podcast that I just shot. And it was about attractiveness and how, you know, when we show up to meetings and we look a certain way, how we're perceived, you know. And again, we're in 2024 and we need to see past what the skin looks like or whatever. And look for the brain and the heart, the head and heart connection, because there's not a lot of head and heart connection out there in the world either.
You're very right. But you know, like I said, like it's nice now to have a voice. It's nice to have podcasts, Instagram, social media where we can put out our own messages and build our own brand and let people know that we're here, we're talking, we're shedding light on things. And guess what? We're not going away.
Okay, well, you know what? We're coming up to our time, and I know you have something else coming up. I will wrap for now, but you know, I'd love to have you on as more things happen down there in South Carolina.
Oh, well, yeah, I will definitely let you know what happens with Judge Kittredge's seat, and let's pray that we at least get one female on the court. But I sure appreciate you giving me a platform to talk about this today.
Absolutely. And thank you so much, Andrea, for being on with me today, carving out some time out of your busy schedule to talk about this very important topic. And, I hope that people tune in and they either watch or listen to this so that they too remember that they have a voice and they can make a difference.
Amen, sister. Thank you so much, Christina. Good to see you.
Thank you so much. So with that, we're going to sign off for today. Thank you so much for everyone who follows, listens, watches us. We really greatly appreciate it. For now, remember, you have a voice. I am Christina D'Arcangelo.